Is it one of these things where pickleball is continuing to grow so fast that if you build it, they will come? Is the demand still there?
The more braces, the more they look like they're not going to beat you, the more their precision is going to be there. That's a pro tip there. Yeah. Don't pick the one with the elbow brace. They're the one who's going to get you.
An interesting statistic for you is now the largest demographic, the largest age demographic of people playing pickleball now is 24 to 35.
Welcome to the Stubbornly Young podcast for people in their 50s, 60s, and beyond who have a mindset that drives them to stay engaged in the world and relevant to the younger people in their lives. I'm Dave Tabor. In this episode, I've decided to drop shot into pickleball. Of course, you know pickleball is everywhere, and my guess is that at least half of you, like me, play pickleball either casually or like an addiction. More like me, somewhere in between. So let's learn more about what's going on in this world where it is said that there are more than 14 million players. I'm fascinated with the growth of the sport, wondering whether it's a fad or here to stay, and curious about the uniquely cross-generational opportunities pickleball presents. I'll be exploring all that with Adam Kahn and Max Ireland, co-founders of Third Shot Pickleball, a growing group of pickleball facilities. Hey, I'm in my studio now, but the interview with Max and Adam was recorded at one of their locations, and you'll hear that in the background. So, hey, if you love pickleball, it will make you wish you were out there with us.
Thanks, Dave. We appreciate you coming out here.
I'm glad to be here. I do. I love pickleball, and I got so many questions. This, just from an overview, this is a sport that has grown like 233% over 3 years, millions of people play it. So how'd you guys get into it?
So I was first invited to play pickleball by my older sister who lives in California, who's never beaten me at a racket sport in her life. And so I thought, before I go out there and visit, I'd better learn how to play this sport, and tried it once and I was hooked. It's just so much fun to play.
You know, for those who, I mean, pretty much everybody knows, but to me, I describe it as sort of a cross between ping pong and tennis. It's like, you know, tennis is so freaking hard, and ping pong is just like, it's small. Like, right? I mean, Max, am I somewhere on the right track with this?
Yeah, I would agree with it. Adam generally likes to call it, it's like ping pong, but you're standing on the table. I've heard him use that one before. So definitely is. And I would also describe ping pong as small. And yeah, pickleball, though, it's what, a third the size of a tennis court, roughly? Yeah. About three of them in there.
Is it? All right. Yeah. So now, how did you get into this?
Sure. I actually first played it in Iowa in high school back in the early 2000s.
It didn't exist then, did it?
It did. The 1960s in Washington, Bainbridge Island, Washington, is when it first came to be. We didn't believe it was a real sport, though, in the early 2000s. We thought the gym teacher had made it up. You know, he threw us a wiffle ball, some plastic paddles. We put the badminton net on the ground. And, yeah, he pointed to some of the sets of the lines on the gym floor and said, these are the pickleball lines. So, we made the most of it. But I reacquainted myself with it post-COVID, like a lot of folks did in 2021. And,
I always think this would have grown faster. And I saw the story of how it got started in this guy's driveway and the whole thing. He just invented it. But, like, couldn't they have come up with a better name? Like, how can you take it seriously with that name?
I agree. I think maybe pickleball is the least favorite part about pickleball. The name of it is for a lot of people. But even that, you know, people can't agree on where the name came from. So I'm okay renaming it if you want to propose
yes, I would like to. I'm going to come up with one. But in the meantime, speaking of names, Third Shot Pickleball, I mean, for those who play pickleball, there is this thing about the third shot. But is that where the name comes from, of course?
It does. The third shot's the most important shot in a pickleball point because it determines the outcome of the point about 80% of the time.
Really? 80%?
Yeah. So it's really important to learn how to do that. And how we came up with that name, Max and I each had a different name that we were considering. I was out of town up at my ski condo. My girlfriend, who was a beginning pickleball player, was watching videos, instructional videos on YouTube on how to hit an effective third shot. And she kept sending me these videos. So I went to sleep after watching like five instructional videos on the third shot. And, I'm an older person, so I wake up in the middle of the night, maybe needing to use the restroom. And I was like, third shot pickleball. I wonder if that domain's available. So at 2:30 in the morning, I, from my cell phone, bought third shot pickleball and called Max the next day. And he agreed it was a great idea.
That's super cool. All right. So I'm sitting here with you guys in this, and I've noticed some of your other locations. You're going to open one not too far from my house in Littleton. This is basically a big open box of a building. It used to be, what did it used to be here?
This was a former grocery store, Lucky's Market grocery store.
Got it. Oh, that's right. So they had walls or they had something. But basically, to create one of these, you have to basically empty it out and then put in these courts. It doesn't look that complicated to install it, but is it?
There's a little more to a build-out than one might imagine. And there's a lot of important criteria in finding the right building. So not every building is suited for it. You need the right ceiling heights. You need the right column spacing, the right zoning, ample parking.
You know, I didn't think about the column spacing. Look at these. But, yeah, these columns do lend themselves to having pickleball courts in between them. You don't have any padding on them, so I don't think people are right. I mean, there's space.
We have padding on some of them.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I guess you would. Yeah, it's light.
Yeah.
All right.
But Max. I'll let Max answer. How many buildings do you think we looked at before we found the right one?
Yeah, I would say probably a dozen or so, at least a dozen.
Wow.
So. Even more so just digitally looking at them online and being like, nope, 14-foot ceilings, that's not going to do it.
And I noticed these pads hanging from the ceiling. Are they sound dampers?
Yep, there are 640 sound baffles up there.
So where does the money come from to build one of these? Because, I mean, I don't know, you're probably not going to give me, can you give me the real number, how much this cost to build out?
I can tell you it's in seven figures to build out a pickleball
club. I
would
guess that it's over $1 million to turn this into what it is.
Yeah.
And how long does it take? I mean, basically you're gutting it and then... You got to put down these nice floors, but is there much more, and hang the baffling, but is there much more to it?
Sure. I mean, there's variable things.
Beer kegs.
Yeah,
beer
depending on what we got going on, we have to add bathrooms in some of them. Lighting needs to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
Certain buildings may not have appropriate fire sprinklers. You know, what would be appropriate for a warehouse full of boxes may not be appropriate for several hundred people. Just, you know, the rules change a little bit with that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
that makes sense. So, was it harder, easier than you thought to turn your very first one into an actual business?
Can I say both?
Well,
certain things went really smoothly. Certain things were frustratingly difficult at times.
Like what? You know? What's an example of something that was super frustrating?
I would say construction delays.
It's a
learning curve.
Is that typical, though? Or is that, well, so talk about the learning curve, because you'd never built one the first time.
Sure, absolutely. And you know, each building, again, is different. So, you know, what we determine to be an appropriate level or amount of HVAC for a certain building, you know, this building has skylights, for example. So that's going to be a different HVAC load versus one that doesn't have as many, or one that faces, you know, the same direction as the sun coming up or sun setting. You know, we have, fortunately, no windows on the west side of the building, so we don't take any of that solar gain.
Oh, that's right. That would be a factor, too, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Even down to, you know, headlights coming in through the front windows at night, you know, and having to minimize those or tint those windows, those
things. I never thought about that. Yeah. All right. So I want to talk some about, because pickleball, it's no secret. It's just boom, boom, boom. It's exploding. And so when you think about location, I mean, you're starting to see them all over, in this case, Denver, but all over the country, starting to see these spring up. I mean, at some point, like, I would think people only drive so far. Is there like a 5-mile window, you know, sort of areas? How do you figure that out?
Sure. So, you know, in the fitness industry, there's typically more of that, you know, 5-mile or even shorter
radius.
Yeah,
I would think even,
people want to go to a gym close to home or close to work. Coming from a tennis background, so I owned Meadow Creek Tennis Club for 20 years. And in the tennis industry, which I view as more similar to the pickleball industry, people will drive up to 45 minutes to go play. I mean, we have people that you know, before we opened our Longmont Club, were coming down from Fort Collins to play in Wheat Ridge.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Like, absolutely. Are you talking about two? Are you talking about, like, a lot of people? People will really drive far.
Absolutely. We currently have people from Summit County that come down here at least once a week, sometimes more than, to play pickleball in the winter.
Okay, but if there were a pickleball facility between there and here, would they join that one because it's closer?
I would say maybe. It would depend on how well that facility was built, the kind of customer service that they got, the quality of the courts, the quality of programming and play. There's a lot of factors that go into that.
Because this is a different answer than I expected. Because I really thought, like, if there are three pickleball courts between A and B, that I would choose basically the one that's closest. You're saying not really.
Yeah, we have customers here, and just recently I've had conversations with a couple of different couples that live very close, like two to five minutes from a competitor's facility, but they choose to come to our club because of the community, because of the program, because of the way they're treated here, and which is music to my ears, right? Huh. Love to hear that.
So this isn't really just courts for rent. It's
correct.
Something more.
There's a lot more.
So describe the a lot more part. Just passing the mic.
Sure. Well, we do have a bar. I can't say that's the a lot more, yeah. But for many people, that's a great starting point.
Is that because
right?
One of your partners is Dale from Oscar?
It certainly is. We planned to have the Dale. Or we planned to have the beer before we had the Dale.
Oh, you
but
did.
Yes,
all right.
There's certainly a factor. But, you know, building on his success there, like, you know, I mean, there's a certain community that's around alcohol consumption. People go to bars for that anyway. But you
and
know,
this is Dale from Oscar Blues.
Correct.
And he's now your partner up north.
Yep. The yeah. Dale from Dale's Pale Ale, if you're familiar with that beer.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
that Dale, as yeah, we yeah. like to say. It's that Dale. But, you know, sports are the same way, where there's a lot of community. And so, you know, we're checking a few different boxes here in terms of, you know, having a bar for some of that social element. People can come here and have parties. They can celebrate. They can do things where they would normally just go to a bar and drink. They can actually come here now and enjoy some pickleball as well. A lot of people find their way back to pickleball from other sports. Mm-hmm. They either got injured out or aged out, depending on what sport they were playing. Certain sports, you know, if you're not, I hate to say if you're not pro, but even still, you know, some of the jumping that volleyball requires or basketball or something, many people don't play those as late. People will play tennis later, you know, swimming goes later, but, you know, pickleball is something they can play till 90 or till they can't walk anymore.
Yeah, I used to play squash, and it's like, I don't know. You did too? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Adam, But I saw a sign now. Who was that poster? Of a pro tennis pro now getting into pickleball. I mean, there's like it's happening. Like all these pro athletes have now become really engaged in pickleball, right?
Absolutely. No, it's pro athletes like Golden Tate from the Seahawks. He's got a pro paddle now. Let's see here. Jack Sock obviously came over from tennis. Andre Agassi now.
That's
he's
the
got
one
a pro
I saw
paddle.
Out on your sign out there. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Agassi Pro, which is a great paddle from Yola
come on,
there.
How hard is it to make a paddle, really? I mean, you put your name on it, I get it, but come on.
And that's, you know, that's the way many people thought, right? And you see something like that and they think, oh, it's just they slapped his name on there.
Yeah.
That paddle plays pretty well. My teaching pros will tell you there's actually some magic behind that particular construction. So.
Nice. All right. Go.
Yeah, I just want to add a couple differentiators because I think that was part of your question.
Yes, it is.
And you know, we have a lot of programming that we do, so it's not just courts for rent, which was your question.
It was.
So, you know, we have several instructors on staff. They do clinics, drill classes, drill and play with the pro, private lessons. We have free introductory lessons to pickleball several times a week to help people learn the sport in a fun and professional way.
And it helps them become acclimated to your facility and
absolutely.
You know,
we offer customers. A lot of leagues at all different levels for men, women, and mixed doubles. So I think rather than just having courts available for rent, and we do open play as well. You know, it's all of those different programs that make a difference too.
Open play meaning what you pay and you're just part of the rotation.
You bet. You can come in and play, and we segregate that by levels most of the time. But we also have all level ones. So, but you come in and you stack your paddle and you rotate in, and you get to meet lots of people and become part of the community.
So, all right, that's kind of a question because I play at a public court with a buddy, and we show up and we just want to play. Like we don't want to rotate. We don't want to be social. We want to play for an hour. We want to leave. And it seems like there's almost kind of two, like people who are still working have a different approach to this game than people who are retired and want to spend the day here, right? So how do you manage that?
Yeah, I think that's one of the benefits of our indoor clubs is that people can reserve a private court if they want to. If you want to be part of that public community and meet new people and play, you can. But if you want to reserve a court just with your buddies and play for an hour or two, it gives you that opportunity.
Yeah. So as you split your revenue, how do you, you know, I know there's some hospitality, food and beverage and all that, but when you think about how, you know, per hour or per league or how does your revenue split? Are you looking that up? Go ahead.
Sure. The majority of our revenue does come from actual pickleball, you know, court reservations, doubles and singles reservations, that type of thing. We do a lot of private lessons. We do a lot of leagues. You know, percentages wise, I would say the bars, less than a quarter of what the business does. Mm-hmm. You know, depending on the particular season, people tend to drink more in the winter than they do in the summer. Sure. Yeah. It seems like they're more active. The courts are a lot more in demand in the winter than they are in the summer.
Okay, I got to ask this question because it seemed like, you know, pickleball is a sport that maybe started out mostly for older people who lost a step, and you referred to, we talked about, you know, not playing squash anymore, Adam. So, but, you know, we want something recreational, something even competitive, right? That's softer on our bodies, maybe easier to do, but like it's drawing lots of young people. Like bocce ball, like never did that. So what's with pickleball that makes it interesting to young people as well as people that are older?
Well, I'll happy to jump in that one first. And
seeing
just
as you're
say,
under 50.
There we go, under 50 for now. And so, you know, joking, I can tell you exactly how my wife and I got back into it. You know, our neighbors that live behind us kept encouraging us to play. And I said, you know, look, Shelby, we're going to play pickleball when we retire. We know that. That's what retirees
do. That's my
point. We already knew
that. Yeah.
So let's not wait till we're 65 to learn to play. Let's be the best people going in. So we're like, we're going to play once a year for the next 30 years. We'll be good at pickleball by the time we retire. That turned to playing 5 or 6 times a week to turn and open a pickleball club. And, you know, simply it's fun, it's athletic, and it's communal. You know, the close proximity to others, there's so much laughter. Hopefully you can dial all that back down in the background. But it's just a lot of fun. And I think a lot of people, you know, they played sports when they were little because it was fun. Then they got into the grind of high school and varsity and can you go pro and all this. And then the life got in the way, you know, and finding things that are fun and athletic, competitive and social are just, it's just magnetic.
You know, that, what you've just described, I think you did that really well because it's so hard to find. And until pickleball, maybe it didn't exist, something that was fun and athletic and you could get better at it, but you don't have to. Like you can, other games that you're not good at are frustrating. Pickleball, you can still have fun even if, like, I think you did a really good job explaining what makes it magnetic. Yeah. Did you want to add that?
Yeah, well, you see people that come to our free introductory classes and they've never picked up a paddle before, maybe never picked up any sort of racket sport. And in 15 to 20 minutes, they're able to play and have fun and they're laughing. And,
yeah. Which is so interesting because I know tennis had a moment, you know, in the 70s and everybody was playing tennis, but it was frustrating. And like, you have to be good at it, I think. You have to be good at it to have fun. And the process of getting good is miserable. I think.
Agreed.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I came from that background, right? An interesting statistic for you is now the largest demographic, the largest age demographic of people playing pickleball now is 24 to 35.
That is astonishing.
Yeah, it's like 40%. It's remarkable.
I wonder if that's also because the learning curve is short, and so you don't have to invest a ton of time. And so even though people are working, they can take an hour, meet friends, have a beer, and it's a social activity, right? I don't know.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree with everything you just said.
Wow. All right. So let's talk more about the business and about the sort of this expansion model. Because you guys have gone from one. Did you anticipate opening several when you started this?
We were not getting into this planning on opening several locations, but we were having so much fun and it was going so well that we decided it made sense. I actually read an article in the Longmont Times Call paper about the high demand for pickleball and not enough courts. And that is what prompted me to look in that market. And then we found a perfect building and a perfect partner in Dale. And that was our next location. And then it just kept going from there. It's been, our expansion has been a lot about people and having the right people. And those people have really reached out to us. And then having a market that we feel like is an underserved market has been secondary to the right people.
So, is it one of these things where pickleball is continuing to grow so fast that if you build it, they will come? Is the demand still there?
The demand is still growing rapidly, although we are more cautious about wanting to open a location anywhere close to a competitor. We want to make sure that we create enough space so that everyone that wants to get into this business succeeds.
That makes sense. I mean, we've seen it in other industries where everybody just jumps in. And I just listened, this is completely unrelated, listeners, but just listened to a story in the Wall Street Journal about Pueblo, Colorado, where they had like 200 pot shops and they all are going broke. Like, there's no fun in that. If you create an environment where everybody can't succeed, what's the fun for you?
Yeah, it's just not, it's not worth all the headache.
Although I can imagine others may not share that view and they see, you know, an empty block across the street and they'll take it, but you know, you hope that, you hope not.
Yeah. There are some other companies out there that we feel like maybe don't have that same philosophy.
Yeah. So at some point though, you're going to hit saturation. I mean, two things could happen. One is saturation, and another is, you know, the trend wears off. You know, and then everybody, then what do? Do you see that happening? Is this, like, can pickleball be more sustainable than tennis was, for example?
Sure, those are great questions. And I mean, when you look at, you know, industries in Colorado that have gone through major growth phases, like craft brewing, which Dale knows well and has seen, taper off. Same with cannabis, huge explosion, and then, you know, tapered off. There's a lot of folks who will follow trends, you know, whether they have the passion for it or not. And I think once saturation point hits, that passion for whatever it is, for the cannabis, for the craft brewing, for the pickleball, is what will differentiate those that do succeed and those that don't.
Well, I just wonder if there's, I mean, yeah, maybe this is all the rage now, but it's still, for all the reasons you said earlier, it's still active, it's fun, it's not, you know, you can get as good or not as good as you want and still enjoy it. So maybe the recipe for continuing this trend is, maybe that mix is just better than other things.
It could
in the
just
past.
Be the ultimate dish. Sometimes people bring up the C word, which is CrossFit. You know, CrossFit was super, super big
deal.
And then it fell off. But I don't know about you. My grandmother never did CrossFit. She was never into it, you know. And people also talk about padel and some of these other racket sports, which are a blast.
Yeah.
But, you know, the infrastructure for a padel court is much higher than what it takes to do a pickleball court. You can't do them outside as well. And just the intensity of some of these things. You know, the joyful fun of pickleball without the intensity that's going to make, you know, grandma lose her teeth or your young cousin, you know, fall and break their ankle, you know. You can play it multi-generational and everyone still has fun.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Although I do like to compete. I like the intensity.
Absolutely.
But you give the opportunity for that too.
Yep.
So how would you mix? I mean, because you see now, like I've seen on Prime, there's you know, you can watch pickleball tournaments and all this. Like, as you think about how the industry sort of shapes and evolved and all that, now it's getting into tournaments. And so is there going to be a temptation to either be good or not engage? I mean, at some point, just like, you know, youth soccer and all that. It used to be like when I was growing up, everything was recreational and that was okay. And then it started to scale into this competitive machine. And I just wonder, is that, as more people, like pros, become big, and like, is there going to be a temptation, I'm not good enough to do that anymore? Do you have to manage that in the business?
As a non-pro, I'll take a quick stab at that, and then I'll hand it off to an actual pickleball pro.
Oh, he's
here.
Cracking his neck. He's ready to go.
Adam's going to be ready for this one. But, you know, I think there's definitely a percentage, even perhaps of folks that play in our club, who maybe in the back of their mind, 1-2% thinks, I might still go pro in this. And there are certainly folks who, you know, have the athletic gifts. They played Division I college tennis and have picked up the sport really well and maybe are poised to make some kind of an amateur or semi-professional kind of a run. But I think a lot of people, you know, again, they left those sports the first time for that reason, hopefully aren't coming back in their mid-40s, 50s, whatever, you know, in their mid-30s even, and thinking, hey, this is going to be my second round. I think looking at the Olympics, what, curling is generally the only sport you see out there where folks are jumping into it in their 50s and 60s. Not to discourage anyone out there, I think you could potentially still make it happen. But I think most people are here for the fun and the community and, you know, just seeing how far you can take it. And if, you know, you win enough tournaments, just you decide you need to go step into some bigger ponds.
Yeah, but, you know, my question is, really, does the evolution of tournaments begin to differentiate players, like, who think I'm not that good or... You know, those people are so good. I mean, does it become discouraging as the sport evolves?
So I think there's room for both, and there's interest in both, right? I would say the bulk of the players are recreational, but as they become competitive, tournaments offer play at all different levels.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can play in a tournament at a beginner level, or you can play in a,
really?
In a tournament at a professional level, and everything in between.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of if you want to get out there and test your skills, you know, against, if you're an intermediate player against other intermediate players, mm-hmm. a tournament's a fun venue to do that.
Nice. All right. What about, I know you mentioned to me during an earlier conversation something about sponsorship opportunities, and is that part of the mix now at a place like this? Where, what are they? Are they paddle manufacturers or other kinds of sports drinks or what? Who are your sponsors?
Sure, it is. We have not really delved into that deeply yet, but Skechers is one of our sponsors.
Really?
They've been fantastic in multiple, you know, of our locations of our clubs, providing footwear for our pros, and then of course we carry their footwear in our pro shop. But we have a couple of realtors, Ann Pilaj and Gig Blitz, who are also a sponsor, and then Prestige Imports, the Audi and Porsche dealer
so
here.
So local companies locally. Will want to have some visibility here. And that raised a question, which is this an audience that's somewhat affluent? Like, where does this fit in the demographics of income and such?
Sure. I mean, so I would say yes in the fact that obviously we have an Audi dealership who's willing to sponsor the sport. They're seeing some of that.
Yeah.
Obviously, some of their customers are also pickleball players. They've heard enough about it to think it's worth being here. You know, the parking lot generally looks fairly nice out there. I'm not going to fault anyone out there for what they're driving. But that being said, you know, I mean, the sport does exist at the complete other end of the spectrum, too. You know, for free in parks. You know, people come into our free classes here.
Equipment's cheap, too.
Absolutely.
I mean, super cheap. You can get started for $25.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you can. Amazon has made pickleball paddles and gear extremely accessible at a very low cost.
That was my first one, yeah.
Yep. I think a lot of people, that's even what we encourage. We can't compete with Amazon in the $20 paddle market.
Yeah. So, what's the deal with indoor versus outdoor? I mean, you know, we live in Colorado. It's one of the sunniest places in the world. And why indoor courts? I know there's wind and stuff like that, but talk about the need for indoor versus outdoor.
Absolutely. It comes down to quality of experience. You know, ultimately what people want are competitive games. And when games, you know, are determined by which team is facing the sun or which team brought bug spray or who has water, who went to the bathroom before and isn't trying to hold it for 2 hours, so they want to go in the porta potty. All of those things just kind of start to detract from the experience overall. And you know, there are, you walk by many parks, you know, and you can see monkey bars out there. You can see little, like, really limited workout stations. People could go work out outside, but you'll notice, you know, most gyms are indoors. You know, again, Huntington Beach maybe would be the one hot spot
That's a
area.
Good point.
There are just certain things that you can do outside, but the experience is oftentimes better inside. Well, lighting, weather, those are factors.
Yeah.
And the neighbors are actually the biggest factor.
Yes, that's been such a big deal with the noise.
I saw this morning that Florida has banned pickleball courts in all their state parks.
It's
partly because of the property, the noise, whatever. But it's partly because they feel like it has impact on the wildlife there. Just the noise of the pickleball itself, they think, is that. So people have asked us, hey, are you going to put pickleball courts on your roof? You know, we have apartments all around us. We're just too close to the neighbors. They would not be pleased with that.
Interesting idea.
So our model has been predominantly, I think we have one outdoor court in the parking lot in Evansville, Indiana location.
Huh.
And that was a secret surprise to all of the rest of us. So, correct.
Wow.
It does back up to a cornfield.
Oh, that's funny.
Yep. So.
Yep. That makes sense. What have we talked about pickleball and third shot pickleball that we need to cover that you like to talk about that we haven't yet? Are you making money? Got to talk about that.
I would say the fact that we're willing to continue opening clubs should certainly confirm that the clubs are doing well thus far. You know, and again, I think that we do put forth a good product. The Wheat Ridge Club here did just win the Denver Westward Best of Denver Award for the second year in a row for best place to play pickleball. So, you know, it's not just as simple as, hey, throw some courts and some nets in and people will come on and you'll be a millionaire. You know, you have to go out there and treat people well and assemble the right team and put the right offerings in place.
Yeah.
And,
what, you know. Is it still, is the sky still the limit on this thing?
We believe so. The sport is
really?
Still
you
in
believe
its,
that
the sport is still in its infancy.
No, there's no way. There's no way that if what was the number? 22 million? How many million? I had a stat here. 14 million people play. There's no way you're still in your infancy.
It's the sport is still in its infancy. It's remarkable.
Oh, that's right. It's coming.
And the
it's
Pro
coming
Tour,
to the Olympics.
You know, I was just reading this past week the PPA, which is the Pickleball Pro Tour, the growth of viewership, both televised matches as well as in-person ticket sales and people going and watching the events live, just continue to grow, exponentially.
Okay.
And so that's bringing more and more larger dollar sponsors into the sport.
The more
it gets that type of exposure, the more new people learn about it and want to try it.
Come on. Okay. What were you saying?
I was saying, you know, the Olympics are looking at it right now.
Yeah,
the NCAA is looking at it now to officially sanction
course,
it.
Of course.
There is a college world, you know, championship that Duper hosts and puts on, but it's not NCAA yet. So you're seeing some schools.
So there's room for all of that.
Add a little bit of, you're starting to see scholarships show up for that, you know, luring some of those tennis folks away.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to watch, and I've watched them on TV. I'm like, wow. And then, of course, on YouTube, you can see these miracle points that people make these shots. I'm like, it's pretty fun. So, yeah, Stubbornly Young is for people in their 50s, 60s, and beyond who want to stay engaged in the world and relevant to the younger people in their lives. And so many of my audience, I'm sure, is playing pickleball. But what's your take on pickleball relative to those people, that mission? And yes, we're going to ask the older of the two. So, yeah, fire away, Adam.
Thank you. I appreciate you adding the on there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
My sweetheart and I refer to ourselves as old
Okay.
So, as a 61-year-old, and I was a competitive tennis player all of my youth, and then a competitive racquetball player, and a squash player, as we briefly talked about.
Yeah.
Pickleball has given me the opportunity to do something that I can engage in that's not quite as hard on my body, but I can be highly competitive in, and it's so much more social than any of those other racket sports that I've played. And I think as we get into our 50s and 60s, that social component is really, really important to lifestyle and creating health and happiness.
Well, what's interesting too is what Max said earlier around the average age, I think what you said it, Max, I don't know, the average age of pickleball players and the way young people are. I mean, is this a cross-generational recreational sport that doesn't otherwise exist?
So we were here yesterday on Easter Sunday. We were open and we were packed, which is awesome.
Wow.
and was amazing. And my girlfriend is playing with her son and grandson. And so, yes, it is very multi-generational.
Wow. That's super cool. Okay, what's the young guy say?
I would say the same thing. Having played now pickleball, we used to try different sports. We'd go to putt-putt. We'd do go-kart racing. We'd tried volleyball as a family. And now it is all pickleball pretty much. No matter where we go, everyone knows to bring their paddle. We'll oftentimes bring extra paddles. So it's definitely something you can play with multiple ages. You're even seeing that at the professional level. The mixed age tournament is one of the more fun tournaments.
Oh, I saw a mother-daughter one.
Yep,
yeah.
There are definitely several siblings who play out there, but there was a mother-daughter. You know, the only other father-son that I can think of is I know LeBron James wanted to play basketball with his son, you know, but so often people can't make that happen, you know, and I don't know how much influence he had to throw around to make that happen. But, you know, again, the idea that a mother-daughter could, you know, the number one player and her mom could play. Or, again, then in tournaments where, you know, a senior pro player will partner up with, you know, a junior pro, I guess. Not junior pro, but just regular pro. And, you know, again, that's just – it's fun to see because the way the game is played, you know, it goes from more powerful and more quick to a lot more precision. You know, the joke about never judging a pickleball player by how they look is extremely true. You know, the more braces, the more they look like they're not going to beat you, the more their precision is going to be there. Again, if you don't think they can beat you outright athletically, then you better be wary. You better just be careful.
That's a great thanks, guys, for that insight.
That's a pro tip there. Yeah, don't pick the one with the elbow brace. They're the one who's going to get you.
And I just want to throw in another plug for, if you will, the National Pickleball League, which the NPL is a new tour that started in 2023, their inaugural year, that is dedicated to senior pro players, 50 and over. And they started with six teams, and they expanded to 12 teams. Six teams.
Oh, six to 12. Got
and
it.
Then they added an additional six expansion teams in 2024. They did not add any additional teams in 2025, but word is they are going to expand in 2026. And there's a rumor out there that Andre Agassi might be one of those team owners that'll be an expansion team in 2026. And he's become quite a good pickleball player.
How fun is that? Yeah. Well, cool. Thanks for shedding some light for the stubbornly young listeners about, you know, where pickleball is going. And where, you know, I could see it wouldn't be fun to have a grandparent-grandchild tournament. Now, that I wouldn't be surprised, you know, to see something like that, especially maybe country clubs or something like that. But, yeah. All right. Okay, that's it for episode 20 of the Stubbornly Young podcast for people in their 50s, 60s, and beyond who want to remain engaged in the world and relevant to the younger people in their lives. It was great to explore the world of pickleball on Stubbornly Young with Adam Kahn and Max Ireland of Third Shot Pickleball. I'm Dave Tabor. If you've got friends and family who are stubbornly young, please recommend that they give this a listen. And if you've got ideas for episodes or content, hey, let me know at dave@stubbornlyyoung.com.